hopefully we've already given ourselves away. It's not something that we say we're doing and not doing. And hopefully this year we're going to start off really explaining and getting an understanding of what it means to be connected to God. We don't want to just be saying it just in word and not really meaning it, not showing it. We want to truly display our love for God and how we're supposed to live for Him. Amen. Now, if you turn your bulletins over, the first order of my step of the new year is called Whoever Believes. Whoever Believes. The purpose of this is to kind of answer a question. And I'm going to try to fill in some holes this year, try to answer some questions so we're in the right place with God. I think one of our biggest struggles is we've created different avenues and different relationships with God, and it's caused disconnects and confusion, and we don't want that. That shouldn't be. We're supposed to all be one body, not just FSG, but we're all Christians, all a part of one body. So the one qualification that Jesus says we must have in order to be saved is to believe. And we want to get an understanding of what that means, to believe. So if you look at the first selection to put up top, it's the verse that we know very well. The gift of salvation is given to those who believe. That's in John 3:16-18. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son." Looking at that word believes, it comes from the Hebrew word, or I'm sorry, from the Greek word pistuo, which means to have faith in, upon, or with respect to a person or a thing. Simply means to entrust. Now, in today's world, when we hear that word believe, we tend to use it for the respect to, and not the upon or entrusting in. Even more so when we read this selection, he says, whoever believes in him. So it's not just a, I agree that he exists. It is a, I am living for him. I am placing my trust in him belief. Why this is so important is because we tend to run around and we tend to tell people, just say these few words, say you believe, then you are saved. Now, what's so dangerous about that is you have a lot of people that have nothing to do with God, nothing to do with church, nothing to do with the Bible, but they said these few words and they've accepted the fact that they're saved. And they're telling people, I'm a Christian. They'll say, I'm a Christian. And what always breaks my heart in that is they're being deceived, because as Jesus said, there's going to come a time when he returns and those who say, Lord, Lord, a lot of them will not enter his kingdom because they did not believe. Now, what Satan has done is taken this word, like he's done other words, and distorted the definition. Okay? Like he's done love. You know, the word of love, we use the word, the world's way of love instead of God's way of love. God's way of love is dependent upon him. World's way of love is dependent on our feelings. We've distorted peace. God's form of peace, once again, dependent on him. The world's form of peace is dependent on your surroundings and your situation. We've destroyed joy. God's form of joy, once again, is fully dependent on him. Our form of joy is dependent on our situation and our surroundings. All of these are very dangerous, and we should not be in that. But to believe in him is another way that is showing that we are totally trusting in him despite how things are, how things look, and how things are going. We are trusting in him completely. Let's go through this, and then hopefully by the end of this, you'll understand what it means to believe, and if you haven't, you will readjust your belief. First of all, belief is commanded by God. We see in 1 John 3:21 through 24, "Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from him anything we ask, because we obey his commands and do what pleases him. And this is his command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. Those who obey his commands live in him, and he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us." So there's a true belief we have in him. And he tells us, and that's a main part of his command, to believe in his name. And once again, not just believing in the name Jesus Christ, but believing in what that name represents, what that name is displaying. Remember, there's power in his name. So we have to believe in that power, believe in what he stands for, believe in what he means. True believers will listen and follow Christ, not just hear Christ. Now, why is this so important? Because if I'm truly believing, I'll follow Christ. And I'll explain why that's so important. John 10, 25 through 30 says, "Jesus answered, I did tell you, but you do not believe. The miracles I do in my Father's name speak for me, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father who have given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand, and I and the Father are one." The significance of this is because today we're trying to convince people to become Christians. And we use every other form and ways that we can to make them say, okay, I'll become a Christian. And that's not who he's talking to. He says, my sheep listen to me. Did y'all get this? My sheep. So in other words, and you're going to see in a little bit, that all we should have to do is present Christ. Because if I truly want to follow Christ, that's all I want to be fed by is Christ. Even on the things I don't care for as much or like as much, if that makes sense. In other words, there's going to be certain things that Christ says that aren't the most desirable things to me. Remember when he said to Paul, you know, Paul asked, he said, you know, please take this thorn away from me. And when God said no, Paul rejoiced. Why? Because he just wanted his answer. He didn't want the desirable answer. He would like that. That would have been nice. But he really wanted and lived for God's answer. Do we live for God's answer or do we live for a desired answer? He says, my sheep want to hear me. My sheep listen to me. That's why even when I counsel, if I give, and it's all I can really give is what the word says. Some will receive it. Some will want me to give a more desirable answer. I understand that. You know what I mean? Even though I feel that way sometimes, I would love to hear the answer that I would like to desire. However, I want to hear from him, even if it's not desirable, because I know it's truth and I know it's right. And he's saying those who truly believe are his sheep and want to hear from him. He says, my sheep listen to my voice and I know them and they follow me. We're just looking for what is Jesus saying about this? Not, hey, give me an answer. I want to hear about this. Do y'all hear this? Okay, this is why we give ourselves away. Too many times, and right now, like I said, we're in an age, a very dangerous age, where we want Christianity to serve us instead of us being in Christianity. So many flavors of it that is so dangerous today. And it is very dangerous because we keep molding it to fit people instead of people molding to fit it. We believe in him. So that effective ministering to guide those to believe will be fully based on Christ crucified. So in other words, the sermons that I have to make sure I give are fully based on God's word, not trying to entice you, not trying to please you, not trying to pull you in, not trying to make you feel better, but fully preaching Christ crucified. That's the only one that will affect those who truly believe. Look what it says, 1 Corinthians 1, 20 through 25. It says, where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him. What this is basically saying, we have had some brilliant people. Even in the church, people have come in with degrees and they just know things left and right, and they still haven't figured out God. Because they can't through human and worldly wisdom. You cannot. He makes that very clear. It says, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Do you notice this? He says, the foolishness of what was preached. Now, I'll explain why it was foolish. Think about it. Now, if we think of what happened intellectually, we struggle with it. Okay? The most powerful being of all time, of everywhere, came down as a regular weak man and died. That's what he did. And we go, what? Wait a minute. He was powerful enough to come down here and wipe out all of our enemies and make us do what we're supposed to do, and everything changed. But he came down and died. And that was a struggle. That's why they call it foolishness. If you look at verse 22, it says, Jews demand miraculous signs. So at that time, Jews wanted to see him come down here and do a whole lot of signs and miracles and things like that. So he wasn't supposed to die. He was supposed to go up on the cross and then fly off the cross and then do some miraculous thing. But no, he died. What? Wait a minute. That doesn't make any sense. They struggled with that. That was foolishness to the Jews. The Greeks look for wisdom. So they use their calculations, their philosophies, and they sit down and they logically said, well, it doesn't make sense for him to come down here and die. Can he live and do what he was supposed to? And they're using all their calculations and things and putting it together, and it just didn't work out. So they struggled with that. It says in verse 23, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles. The Jews stumble with it because they were looking for this, once again, power of him coming off the cross. And they were like, wait, but he died. Foolishness to the Gentiles because they're saying he came to save, but he died. But we understand it because we seek God. We understand it because we understand it creates the mercy, the grace, the justice. It covers it all, but that's only if we listen to and follow Christ. Scripture from the Old Testament to the New Testament has explained it. If I'm just looking for what my Father is telling me, not what I think it should be, not what I think it should sound like. Do y'all get this? Okay? We're looking for what it says. This is in verse 24, but to those whom God has called, both Jew and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. We continue to depend on what man thinks. It blows my mind how many times we'll read something in the Bible and we'll go, that doesn't make sense. I think God doesn't mean it this way. And then we try to fill in God's blanks. He must have missed something. You know, we'll say things like, God is outdated. The Bible skipped this part. Or we'll add things into the church thinking, God, it was just mistaken back then. It was kind of old back then. Let's fix it for him. Don't we do this? We look at our own lives, and when it doesn't fit how we think our lives should be, we start making adjustments ourselves. We look at it as foolishness. But for those who truly believe, we'll do exactly what Jesus says. He says, I do exactly what my Father tells me. I just want what God tells me. Clearly, 100% what God tells me. Y'all remember the story when he had to tell Peter, get behind me. He said, you are a stumbling block to me. Because Peter was speaking out of human love when Jesus told him, I'm going to have to be crucified and I'm going to have to die. Y'all remember that. But why did he say, you're a stumbling block to me? He's saying, you're messing me up. Your mind is on the wrong thing. If I'm teaching you this answer, your answer should have been, got it. I may struggle with it, but if that's what God said, got it. Does everybody see this? Got it. All right. I got it. That's what I'm going with. We tend to go, I don't like that answer. I'm going to find somebody who'll tell me an answer I like to hear. You know, itching ears, as the Bible puts it. But effective ministering will be exactly that. I'm just giving you what the Word says. Now, understand this and be very clear on this. We can't acquire eternal life by doing it on our own, but by believing and receiving the gift. That's it. It's the only way you can do it. Anybody who thinks you're a good person and you're living a good life and you're doing things good, you're fooling yourself. Do you understand that? He gave you the only door you can go through. You can go through all these other doors and feel good about yourself and be fooled. That's why it's called foolish, because you're being fooled. He gave us the only answer. In fact, look what the Galatians had to go through. Galatians 3, 1 to 9, he says, "You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified." So he's telling them, you guys seen this situation. He died. And of course, he rose again. But it says, "I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by observing the law or by believing what you heard?" Now, anytime the Bible refers to observing the law was put into place for me to try to be righteous on my own. But it was also put into place to show me I can't be righteous on my own. Do y'all get this? That's what the law, that's what I said. The law was never put in place for me to say I'm going to do it and I'm going to succeed, because we already knew we could fail without God. That's the whole key. Okay, I'm going to have to go over that sermon again to show y'all how the law worked. But the purpose of the law was for me to go, okay, I'm going to follow this perfectly, but God already gave you the answer. All have fallen short. We all failed. In other words, if it was up to us, we were all doomed. Do you understand this? We are all headed to hell. That's what the law was put into place for, to show you, you've already failed. Okay? But the Galatians here now, that they have accepted Christ and they understood how grace works, and I'll explain that in a little bit, started adding more law to it now. So, okay, they said, I'm going to accept the gift and I'm going to be self-righteous. And I'm going to do it on my own. That's what he means here. When he says, did you receive the Spirit by observing the law or by believing what you heard? He says, are you so, here's the word again, foolish, after beginning with the Spirit, are you now trying to attain your goal by human efforts? Are you trying to do this on your own? Have you suffered so much for nothing? If it really was for nothing, does God give you his Spirit and work miracles among you because you observe the law or because you believe what you heard? Consider Abraham. He believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. He believed him and it was credited to him as righteousness. Understand then what those who believe are children of Abraham. The scripture foresaw that God, who justified the Gentile by faith and announced the gospel in advance to Abraham, all nations will be blessed through you. So those who have faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. Okay, so it's letting me know, it's not me going out there trying to be righteous. I can't. You can't. Even if you met somebody and they say they are, they're lying to you and themselves. They cannot. However, evidence of me believing will be shown in how I live. So this is what I got to make clear to you. So I don't do things to be righteous because I can't. However, if I have accepted the gift in belief and I am righteous, it will show. Look what he says here. He says in 1 John 5, 1 to 5, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. By loving God and carrying out. So now it's not saying carry out his commands in order to be righteous. It's saying this is how we know that we are following God. You'll look at your life and you're doing what God wants you to do. It's a difference. There is a qualifier there to let me know this is for me. This is how fruit is produced. Because, and why am I doing it? Because I trust in him. Y'all get this? Belief is going to be me saying, I fully trust in him. So if he told me to go right, I'm going right. First of all, I'm checking with him before I go. So I'm in my word. I'm coming to church. I'm asking questions. I'm studying. I'm knowing. And then I'm applying it. Why? Because I trust in him. If he is the way and I need to get there, I'm following him. I don't make up my own way and then say, okay, God, get me there. Based on my way. I don't come to you and ask you, hey, give me an answer based on what you think. I'm going to him, trusting in him and going his way. Do y'all get this? Everybody understand this, okay? So you see that it's going to be displayed. If I truly believe in him, you'll see how I live. is saying, and his commands are not burdensome. Verse 4 says, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Now, when I'm still engulfed in the world, still affected by the world, still living based on the world, did I truly believe? That's what he's saying. If I am still worldly, it means I'm still connected to the world and I'm not truly believing. I may say I believe, but I haven't truly believed. Because belief, once again, is entrusting in him. Even though it may seem cloudy, I'm still following him. I'm going, okay, God, which way do you want me to go? The word says this. Okay, this is what I'm doing. All right, God, what else do you want me to do? Wait, this looks wrong. But is that what you said? Then that's what I'm doing. Y'all see how this works? You're just checking with him on what each step every single day. You're going to go through things at work. Situations are going to come up. Do I curse this person out or do I love them? He says love them. Now, some of us are going to go, I'm sorry, I'm not going to let them walk all over me. That means you never believed. Others are going to go, he said love them. I'm struggling with it, but it's not about me. It's about what he says, and I trust him. I believe. Do y'all see this? Okay, so it's not about the situation, how it looks, how it feels. It's about what he says and me trusting in him. This is all belief. True belief will be displayed and not just spoken. True belief will be displayed, not just spoken. James 2, 14 through 26, it says, what good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? So this is where we've blown it when it comes to belief, because we tell people, totally wipe out works and just believe, not realizing, no, your works or your faith and belief will be displayed by your works. Do y'all get this? It will be, once again, it's the evidence of, it's not the path to. I don't do righteous things to become righteous. I do righteous things if I am righteous. That's what he's showing here. He's saying, suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way. Now remember, that's just an example, even though it's a nice example. He's giving you a physical example of saying, so if you say, hey, I'm a Christian, he's saying, what good is it if I'm not being a Christian? Do y'all see that? And how many people do that? They'll say, I'm Christian. They have to say it, and you get people going, oh, you are? Why is it such a surprise to them? Because you're not being, which really means you're not, is what he's saying here. He's going on to say, in the same way, faith by itself, if not accompanied by actions, is dead. Dead means not alive, for those of us who are keeping record on this and watching this. If it's dead, it's not there. It's non-existent. Hopefully we see that. So he's saying faith by itself. Faith, belief, they go together. So I can say I believe, but if I don't display it, I don't. And displaying it will be me displaying him. I got to make this clear. I'll come back to that. But it says, and I will show you my faith by what I do. I'm sorry. Verse 18, it says, but someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do. He's basically saying, so show me your faith without deeds. You say you have faith, show me. You can't, is what he's saying. He's saying, but I can show you my faith by how I live. My life is going to display the word of God. This is going to be so important because you have people that do what the world calls good things, right? But is it based on God? If it's not based on God, it's not faith. They're doing good worldly things that the world probably will pay them back for, probably not. And that's all. That's as far as it goes. However, when you see me displaying God, they'll see my good works, and what will they do? Glorify my Father in heaven. Do y'all see the difference here? It'll be fully be what he said and not adding to it, not taking from it. Too many times we add to it and we take away from it. He goes on to say, you believe that there is one God, good, even the demons believe and shudder. Now their belief is with respect to, ours is entrusting in. Do you see the difference here? They know, oh yeah, there's a Christ. Oh yeah, he's God. They know it, but they're not trusting in him. That's why they shudder. They're just like, They said this is going to happen. We're petrified this is going to happen. You would hear in the exorcisms when he would make them leave, and they would say, it's not our time. Please don't do this. Can you send us somewhere else? And they understood what was to come, so they had belief and respect to him, but they didn't entrust in him. Big difference. You have a lot of people that recognize there's God, will say there's God. We had this term. It's been used for years, but now it's a new in term. I'm agnostic. That intellectual term of belief is still hell-bound. It's no different than atheists, no different than other religions. You understand that? Either you believe in him or you don't. Those are the only two categories. Please understand that. He's saying that demons will say things about God, will recognize that he exists, but they're not entrusting in him. Do y'all see the difference here? Big difference. It says, you foolish man, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? It says, was not our ancestor Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered Isaac on the altar? If it was just that belief, why didn't God go, Abraham, do you believe in me? Abraham, what all he would have to do was go, yes, life is good. Right? Why did he put him through that? Some of us go through some headaches, through some basic things. He was told to kill his son. And 3 days, he had to go through an entire journey of heading to kill his son. But he found comfort in God because he believed. He trusted him. Do you understand that? His comfort was in God, not in the situation, not in the outcome. Whatever it was, this is what God told me to do. This is what I'm doing. Do y'all get this? I'm following him. He says, when he offered his son Isaac on the altar, you see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. If I truly believe, it will be displayed. You'll see me living the Bible. God is, has, and will continue to allow certain situations to happen in your life to show your belief. Do you understand that? In fact, turn with me to First Peter 1. First Peter 1, I'm going to read, start in verse 3. Pay close attention to verse 7. First Peter 1, starting in verse 3, pay close attention to verse 7. Starting in verse 3 of First Peter 1, it says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth in a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation. Be very clear right there. He's saying the thing that protects us is through our faith. Continuing on, it says that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer griefs in all kinds of trials. So it's basically saying you're going through some major things. He's saying during this time of waiting, he's putting you through some trials. And he says, watch this, these have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. It's basically saying, why did he do this thing in my life? To test your faith. Not to test your faith pass fail, to test your faith to make sure it'll withhold. When you do a test of, when you think about it this way, we think of testing, we think of, did I get passing grade? But wouldn't you rather, when you see a pass-fail grade or whatever on an elevator or on a bridge, you want that test, don't you? Because your life depends on it. See, when you get on an elevator and it has this thing back here saying it passed its test, it means it put a certain weight on it and it didn't fall. But that weight, if it would have fell, is saving lives. In the same way, the thing that's protecting us while we're here is our faith. But if I'm not leaning on my faith, I'm doomed. Do you understand this? So he puts us through situations to test our faith. Do y'all get this? So he'll put you through a situation, and he says he does this. These have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, he's saying it's the most valuable thing to you, perishes. Some of us go through some basic things, and we turn our back on God. I mean, basic things. Your faith is still strong. You're just not leaning on your strong faith. Do y'all get that? It's weak to you. All right? It's not that faith itself is weak. It's weak to you because you're not leaning on it. A lot of us are leaning on faith and situation. He says we walk by faith, not by sight. Majority of us walk by faith as long as it looks good. Think about that for a minute. He just gave us the answer. We walk by faith, not by sight. We walk by faith as long as it looks good. So we're really not walking by faith, even though we say we are. Do y'all see how this dynamic works, this whole thing? Going back to the page. So this is why he says when Abraham did this, it says his faith was working, was made complete by what he did. And it says, and the scripture was fulfilled that says Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. Believed God and it's credited to him as righteousness. And he was called God's friend. You see, a person is justified by what he does and not by faith alone. In the same way, was not even Rahab, the prostitute, considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in different directions. As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. So it's showing me if I truly believe, it will be displayed. Y'all get this? Okay? You'll see me living the Bible. I'll be put in situations, and how will I respond? Either I'm going to respond based on Keith. That's not faith. I don't believe. Maybe I'll respond based on you. That's not faith. Maybe I don't believe. Or I'll respond based 100% what he said. Ah, that's faith. I believe. That's why it's foolishness. You'll react in a way. You'll love somebody that hates you. Makes absolutely no sense to the world, but you're truly loving them, because remember, love is an action. You're continuing to love them. Why? Because he said it. You might not feel it, might not think it. You will display it because he said it, and you trust in him. You trust in him and lean not upon your own understanding. Do y'all get this? All right. Hopefully everybody grabbed this. Finally, true belief is a continual embrace to God's word. So if I truly believe, this is a process that will happen till the day I die. And what is this process of me living fully on the word? It won't be some emotional situation that we go through. It'll be a spiritual representation that we go through using his word. 1 Corinthians 15:1-2. 1 Corinthians 15:1-2 says, now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, and on which you have taken your stand. Watch this, verse 2. By this gospel, you are saved. So the word of God gives us this good news, this gospel. It says, if. Everybody say if. So now if, you got to do what's on the one side of the if before you can get to the other side of the if. He's saying you can have this. He's saying by this gospel, you are saved if. So there's a qualifier. What is that qualifier? You hold firmly to the word I preach to you. He didn't just say you hold to the word. See, some of us will pull scriptures every once in a while, right? We use scriptures when it's convenient to us. Is that firm? No. A firm hold will be I'm using it all the time, 100%. It's 100% used all the time. He says, if you hold firmly to the word preached to you, otherwise. So he gives an if. But there's an otherwise. He's saying, if you're not doing what the if does, so if I don't hold on to the word firmly, you have believed in vain. Y'all see this? So hopefully we understand and we get a greater understanding, a greater embrace on what it means to believe. If you find that you have not believed, start today and believe. when we minister to others, let's guide them to true believing, and let's stop deceiving ourselves into just thinking and feeling, but truly embracing our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? All right. As the Word says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. We take this time out to talk to our Father and to let him know how much we believe, how much we love him, how much we depend on him. For those of you who would like to write your prayers down, should be a blank piece of paper on the table. Feel free to write your prayer on that. Put it in the basket and the usher's table, and we'll pray over it in the end. For those of you who like somebody to pray with you, make sure you see me after services, and I'll be more than glad to pray with you and your family. And as we should always do as an example to our children and along with our children, is pray continually. And if you're not sure if you're a Christian or would like to be a Christian, see myself or one of the deacons after services, and we'll be more than glad then to invite you into the body of Christ. Amen? Prayer and meditation. No one else can take your place, Jesus. No one else can take your place. To feel the warmth of your embrace. To feel the warmth of your embrace. Help me find my way. Help me find my way. Bring me back to you. Bring me back to never leave us, never forsake us. We just need to know he's near. Amen.